It's through this idea of original sin and the total depravity of mankind that the corrupted and false teaching of atonement grew up in Western Europe. The idea that mankind is totally depraved or totally wicked or totally evil is so obviously false because a simple observation around us of mankind in general tells us that there is an innate goodness in mankind, that evil is the anomaly, not goodness, that evil is the illness, goodness is the natural state. All human beings are created in the image and likeness of God, and therefore all human beings are inclined toward this a kind of goodness and a kind of virtue. And we'll discuss the meaning of virtue a little later as well, because it's really quite important to understand what it actually means. But when we look at the doctrine of atonement, which originated in a solid form after the year 1000, and really developed finally by Anselm, who was the Archbishop of Canterbury in Britain, and still when the British Church was still Latin. And there were predecessors in this thought, perhaps particularly among Gnostics, but from Tertullian, who was a lawyer, but Augustine is the one who led most clearly to the development of this heretical doctrine. When Europe was cast into the so-called Dark Ages, they perhaps weren't quite as dark as we usually think of them as being. The systematic thought and theology really collapsed in a certain way. And the Western half of the former Roman Empire had been conquered by various tribes, and the Western and Eastern halves of the empire were separated from each other, and there was no real communication between them. In the East, gradually the use of Latin was lost. In the West, gradually the use of Greek was lost. And it's one of those surprising points of history that in Ireland we found the last Western Christians who had a real command of Greek. But in any case, they developed a philosophical kind of theology. And it developed in part out of Augustine's Neoplatonism, but also out of a kind of Aristotelianism. And when the re-enlightenment of Europe began to take place, one of the principal sources for systematic thought was the Islamic interpretations of Aristotle, which were to be encountered in Muslim Spain, where in the academies you had a very high level of education and a very creative movement. And this Spanish movement, the Islamic Spain, really had come into what we would call now a kind of scholasticism. It was in these Spanish educated people, the movement of the philosophers of Spain, they were called the Falsafa movement and the Felasus, who were developing a kind of Aristotelian philosophy in the Islamic world. Well, Spain became a kind of a center of it because of Ibn Rushd, or the man we called Averroes, and his interpretations of Aristotle. Well, this Aristotelianism then came back into Europe through, first of all, through Spain, through the Islamic schools, and later, of course, directly from the East and from other ways of discovering it. So the new systematic thought, or system of systematic thought, which developed in the West, was really this kind of Aristotelian rationalism coupled with the dialectic of the law court. So taking these ideas that mankind is totally depraved, that we all have this genetic guilt, and other ideas like that, they developed the idea that Christ died on the cross to pay man's just death penalty by satisfying God's honor, or restoring God's honor, and satisfying his need for justice. There was some cosmic law which had power over God, which demanded an absolute justice because of God's absolute righteousness. There was, of course, a misunderstanding about what both righteousness and justice consist in. They were understood in the dialectic of the law court. So applying Aristotelian rationalism to this dialectic, Anselm, taking his cue from Augustine of Hippo, developed the idea of atonement, blood atonement, based upon the medieval law of the duel. God is infinite, therefore man's offense against God is infinite, and all of the suffering of all of humanity over all the centuries put together cannot satisfy God's need for justice and to have his offended honor restored. The only, in the law of the duel, a peasant cannot duel a nobleman and satisfy the nobleman's justice. If a peasant offends a nobleman, then the overlord of that peasant, whose blood is equal to the nobleman because they're both noble, is all that can satisfy the offended honor of the offended nobleman. So the two men of equal blood have to duel each other. Now, this idea was applied to the doctrine of salvation with the idea that God's offended honor and his need for justice could only be satisfied by someone equal to himself. And of course, that could only be his son. Therefore, God the Word was incarnate into the world in order to provide a human sacrifice equal to God, which could satisfy God's justice and restore his offended honor. This is the basis of the doctrine of atonement in any of the various shades in which it's presented. And this, of course, developed out of, to a great degree, Augustine's idea of, first of all, original sin, and later also created grace. Augustine, for example, has God saying in his commentary on Genesis, "If you eat of the fruit, I'll kill you." As a matter of fact, it says nothing of the kind. What's said in the Genesis narrative is, "If you eat of the fruit, you'll surely die." It's not a threat, but a statement of reality. If you separate yourself from me, who am the source of life and the only source of life and the author of life, then you'll surely, by being separated from life, taste of death. Of course, first of all, spiritual death. And so the whole matter of mortality and death are completely not understood properly. The idea that developed in the West that man's soul is naturally immortal is an idolatry, because for the soul to be naturally immortal, mankind would have to be God. But the soul, mankind is immortal by grace, not by nature. Only God is immortal by nature, because God is life and the source of all life. So you see how many corruptions developed. Now, we won't have time in this particular broadcast.